Good to be in church for a long time. Man, I told some people, I don't understand folks that come to church and they pull in backwards, you know, so they can get out. I don't want to come to church to get out. I want to come to church to get in. And some people, I guess heaven will be boring to them. I don't know. We're not playing video games in heaven. I know that. Or watching basketball games. Or we're going to be excited about the Lord. On Monday night, I preached on Balaam's blindness. And tonight, I'm going to be preaching about Elisha's sight. So we've got to have a negative and a positive. Right? Don't laugh, Joe. I can preach a positive message, but 2 Kings 6. Let's stand together. 2 Kings 6, and we'll read down here through the text, starting in verse 8 together. Great contrast between blindness and sight again in this chapter. On Monday night, we saw Balaam's blindness, and really he was intent, or he was used to harm people. He harmed the people of God by teaching a false way to a wicked king. Well, the sight here and the blindness here in this text is going to end up helping some people at the end of the story. And it's not going to hurt God's people. It's actually going to result in the salvation of the enemy, which is a great contrast. And there's going to be, it's not the, let's just read it. Verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place, which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." I didn't know that guy was a southerner, but anyway. And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan, therefore sit he thither, horses and chariots and a great host." And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way. Neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. It came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the message we've heard tonight. And God, really, to be honest, we need to hear thousands of messages. We need our minds and hearts filled with the Word of God. And Lord, we fill them with so many other things through the week. Thank you for this set-aside time that we can focus on your Word. We pray you administer the Spirit to our hearts. And may it make a difference again in our lives. We'll thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants. So he said, all right, here we're going to go fight against God's people, and this is where we're going to go, and this is going to be our camp right here. In verse 9, the Bible says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware. Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. You know, somebody that can see the dangers that are approaching other people's lives. Do you know the importance it is for you to have an overseer in your life? An overseer is someone that can see things. Now, I understand the principle in church polity about, you know, he oversees the things of the church. But, hey, by the way, you ought to thank God for your good pastor. I mean, you're privileged to have him preach to you each week and to lead you. Praise the Lord. He's my friend. And but you know, a man of God, a real overseer, God places people in your lives to see things sometimes you can't see. You know, everybody's got blind spots. Have you ever been riding down the road and you went to go into another lane and you about killed somebody and yourself too? Because you just could not see. I mean, you had your rear view there, and you looked in there, and everything looked good, and you looked to the side, but when you started to float over to that lane, you know, and you feel very embarrassed, because how were you not able to see? Because there was a blind spot there in the car. And so we've got these things now. They stick those little mirrors on the side so you won't have a blind spot. You know what I mean? Look, all of us in our lives, God somewhere down the road put someone in our lives to help us with our blind spots. And the truth is that the king of Israel could not see the ambush, the danger, but there was a man of God that could see it for him. Now, I know the pastor's just a Christian like everybody else. He's no, you know, we don't believe in popes. We don't believe in, you know, supermen and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, when God puts an overseer in your life, He can help and see things sometimes you can't. And don't be so proud as to not let anybody point out the danger that's around the corner or around the road or that's in your blind spot. And I would say this, a real man of God is a man of God that warns people. You see that word beware? Beware. That's a word Jesus used a lot. I said that's a word Jesus used a lot. You know this new-fangled Christianity, all this new Christianity is not a Christianity of any warnings whatsoever. There's never a beware. It's smile and let's have a lecture or a study or a... There's no dangers presented. There's no warnings. You see that? He said beware, and the next verse he said, which the man of God told him and warned him of. A real servant of the Lord is being obedient to God and giving people a warning. If there's ever been a generation that needs to be warned, it's today. Amen. But there's no, that's not a nice thing to do. We're not going to warn people of the destruction that's waiting. People don't come to church to get warned. And anyway, those same places. Sometimes some people need to grow up and open their eyes. You know, I look at these websites that these new churches have, and you know, there's no warnings about it. There's nothing, no repent or no warning about anything that's dangerous. But you know, there's always something on that front page about click here if you want to donate. You know what I'm saying? Can somebody not grow up and understand that somebody's playing people for suckers? We want you in the building. We want your money there. But we really don't care enough about you to give you a warning. A man of God, an overseer, someone that really cares about you, is going to say, beware. Jesus did it all the time. And He said this. He said, beware of false prophets. That's what He said. He said, beware of the scribes. Did He say? He said, beware of men. So, the first thing I think, and I even see in this text, that the somebody that can see means they can see the danger, and so they put out the warnings. That means we've got a lot of blindness today. I remember the old man, Brother Rose, that was a missionary out of Tabernacle, though. Jimmy, yeah. I remember that guy. He got up on top of the communion table, man. And he was preaching, waving his hands, saying, I want to be a red light for Jesus. Stop! Stop, sinner, stop! Trying to give out the warning. We don't have a lot of that anymore. But somebody that loves you is going to give you a warning. And you know what they're going to warn you about? They're going to warn you about people. That's what Jesus said, beware of men, beware of scribes. Beware of false prophets. King of Israel, beware of the king of Syria. Beware of people. You know what destroys so many of God's children? They have a blind spot in their life and they can't tell that this person is my ditch. That this person that I met at work or that I go to school with or that lives down the street or that I saw on a screen and they can't see the danger in their lives. The devil comes to you usually through another person. And you know what? If God's got a man in your life that'll step in there and say, you know, you ought to be careful about this person. Well, what's wrong with that person? Well, if you weren't so blind, you'd see that. Beware of men. Beware of false. We've got so many false prophets. People that aren't telling the truth. People that aren't representing the Lord. Beware of people, Jesus said. Beware of those men. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Where's that preached? Hey, get with it, man. I mean, we say amen or something. I mean, turn your head. Praise God. Or I'll camp here, you know, and I'll never get to the good, the positive, you know, smiley stuff. Beware! There's some dangers out there. And Elisha was concerned enough to send them. What does the New Testament say? It says, beware of dogs. Not the four-legged kind. There's some animals out there. And you talk about our children in the next generation and those infants and those little ones. We got a bunch of animals that are after those that are in the church. I mean dogs. Animals. They don't look like an animal when they come up in the parking lot. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Why do you like to be around people that never talk about Jesus Christ? Why do you like to be around people that have language that's not fitting for the presence of the Lord? You're not afraid of that? Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I like that one. The concision. Beware of those religious people that are religious, but they don't know God. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Beware. You know, I want to say I thank God for the men, for the people, for the parents, for the pastors, for the preachers, for the Christians that God has put down through the road of my life that gave me a warning and said, beware. Beware! I'll never forget, we had a young man leave our church in Virginia, and he went to a secular university to get his degree upstate, and smart young man, come from a good family, getting his degree. He got his degree, and later on, he gave this testimony, and this testimony was in his ordination service. You see, because after he went into the secular educational system and got his degree and was making his money and had his big job, he couldn't get away from what God had done in his heart. And he couldn't get away from what was really important in life and for eternity. And he finally wound up just yielding his life for whatever God wanted. And God put him in the ministry and we ordained him. You know, he looked at my face with tears running down his eyes. And he said this to me as he went around the room saying, I thank you for this. And was telling about the men that had touched his life. And he said, preacher, he said, when I was a boy, when I was a young person sitting in there, you didn't think I heard maybe. He said, but I'm telling you, when I was at college and when I was in the classes and different places in my life, I found myself, I could hear your voice and the things that you had heard preached from the pulpit and from the Word of God. He said, you don't know how it saved my life. And he's pastoring today because he got a warning. Beware. Beware of people. Beware of places. Here he says, in such a place. You know, this is great here. Man, I got to get on down here. You know who the king of Israel was? Now, we want to warn our kids. We love them, right? And if we have good sight, we want to warn our brothers and sisters in Christ and all that. But you know who the king of Israel was? He's Ahab's son. It's not like he goes to church much. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, okay? He didn't do it like Ahab. But you know what? I'm looking at Balaam, you know, as we did before, in his heart. He didn't care who he hurt. And here's Elisha sending a warning to Ahab's son. And Elisha does not even respect this king. He said, how do you know? Because just previously in this book, we find him with Jehoshaphat. And they call him to come, you know, give him. And so Elisha comes and he says to the king of Israel, he says, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even be here and talk to you. But Elisha even warns the king of Israel, Ahab's son. Does God have enough of His people to warn even the wicked of His way? And this is what I would say to you, church. If we can't warn our own church family, if we can't warn the people that we love, how are we going to warn people that we don't even care for, we don't love, and they're outside of the grace of God, and are outside of the family of God, and that have totally sold themselves to do wickedness? But Elisha said, he didn't have to do that. He said, man, let him go down there and bust his head. Ahab's son, get him off the throne. Be good riddance, you know. No. And he didn't just do it once, he did it twice. He continued to give the warning. God raised up some real men of God, some real servants of the Lord, some people with some sight that will sound the warning to all people. No matter where they find themselves, well, they don't appreciate it. Well, you know, it didn't look like here in first reading that the king of Israel really believes what the guy says. Look at verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him of. And where? He sent to the place. He said, do that. He said, y'all, hey, the man of God told us not to go over to that place. Go over there and see if there was something there. He really doesn't believe him, but he's too afraid not to check it out. Wouldn't it be good if our warning was powerful enough, even the people that didn't believe us, didn't even like us, that, well, you know, I better watch it. Go see if that guy's right. And sure enough, he was right not once, he was right twice. He was right many times. Where's the warning? You know what we do? We fail to warn people because we are more concerned about our own personal interaction with people than we are giving them the truth and what they need for their life. And we don't want anything to interrupt that relationship, so I'll just let them do what they want to do. He warned him about a place. You know, Christian, we've got to be warned about some places too. There's some places you don't need to be. There's some places you don't need to be. I got to keep reading. Verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Israel, of Syria, was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is heard the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He said, king, there's somebody that's reading your mail. He knows what you're saying in private. Can I remind you tonight that God still knows what you're saying in private? God still knows what's going on behind closed doors. Amen. And this preacher was reading the mail of this king, and he hated him for that. And the Bible says in verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is. Go spy on him. Christian, preacher, church, you don't have to worry about the federal government spying on you. You need to worry about the devil spying on you. You know, I've known people that, I've pastored people that, and there may be something to it, I don't know, who cares. They'll put, you know, tape on their camera. Because somebody might see what they're doing. Well, what are you doing? They'll put tape on their computer camera. I don't want anybody to spy on me. Guess what? Too late. You know, the devil's crowd knows. I'm telling you, the devil has somebody on the trail of God's people. You better make sure that you are living clean and pure and right, because be sure your sin will find you out. Just like the sad story, not long ago, I won't even infer the references on it. But here's a Christian that's involved in getting prostitutes. And he gets one day, and after the wickedness, the prostitute looks at him and says, you go to church so-and-so place. What are you doing here? What are you doing with this? You know, the rest of the story is not real good. You say, well, the devil's not omniscient. No, he's not, but he's also not stupid. He also has his spies. And thank be unto God, we can plead the mercy and the grace of God. But I'm telling you, church, you don't have to worry about the ATF, amen, and the FBI and the CIA and the Trump administration. What you have to worry about is the devil sending somebody out to spy on your inconsistencies. And here he said, go spy out. This preacher's getting us. And he hated him for what he saw. He hated him for what he knew. He hated him for his warning. And the Bible says here in verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Oh, that's an awful lot to get a preacher. Sounds like somebody thinks that man's a little dangerous. He didn't send a little ambassador down there. He sent horses and chariots and a great host for one little preacher, for one old man that had some sight. A dangerous man. Boy, I wish to God that the Lord could find some of us armed and dangerous for the cause of Jesus Christ that would put the fear of God in the enemy to say, hey, man, we've got to send all the host because this guy's doing something and making a dent in our plans. Are you dangerous to the devil? Are you dangerous to the devil? If you can see, you probably are. But most people are blind. He said in verse 14, if they watch it, they came by night. Isn't that the way the devil comes anyway? He's not going to come in the day. He's going to just come in the night season. Now let's get into our message here. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, exclamation point. How shall we do? What are we going to do? You know, I've heard Christians say that today. What are we going to do? I mean, we are encircled. What are we going to do? And the truth is that it was not just the fact that later on there's going to be some people blinded, but really what happens here is the servant of the man of God is blind. And what blinds him is his own fear. Look at verse 16. And he answered, fear not. So obviously the young man is afraid. Now listen. Really, the young, if anybody shouldn't be afraid, it ought to be the young men not afraid. I mean, they're the Marines, amen. They're the ones that carry the packs on their back. The army marches on the young men. But here this young man's scared to death. And because he's scared to death, he can't see. And when you're afraid, you can't see straight. And all he was looking at, he wasn't looking at the man of God. He wasn't looking at the Word of God. He wasn't looking at the things of God. He was looking at the great host that was around him. Just the same problem with the 12 or with the spies that went in and came back, and they're all afraid because all they can see are the giants, and all they can see is the walls, and all they can see is the problem, and all they can see is the battle. And what they could not see is they could not see God. And because they could not see God, and because they were afraid, they were just totally blind. This young man, he can't see God. But you know what? Somebody's going to see him for him. I said somebody's going to see God for this young man. Somebody is going to try to allay his fears. Don't let fear paralyze you into living where you can't live for God and you can't stand for God and you can't obey the Lord. Fear of man or fear of what somebody's going to think. This man was afraid. Or fear of our generation or fear of being alone. That's a big thing. Some people are afraid to be alone. They'll just hook up their tractor with anything, man. Anything's better than being alone. No, it is not. Fear not. You don't need to be afraid of the enemy. You don't need to be fearful in trouble. Jesus said, fear not, many times. He said, fear not those that kill the body. And then what are they going to do? Well, they'll kill my body. Well, amen, go to heaven. Have a good time. take your shoes off, shout, run around the city of God. Say, devil, what you going to do now? Hey, there's a whole lot worse things in life than going to heaven. Really? Threaten? You going to threaten somebody with heaven? Unless you don't have sight to see that you're going there. Fear not, young man. Don't fear somebody that could kill your body. Don't be paralyzed with fear not, little flock. God's not given us the spirit of fear. And when we get afraid, we can't see. So what happens? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. Now watch. Elisha is like God's light switch. He just... Look at it. Verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed in the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. By the way, you know God can smite somebody a whole lot more than just hurting you physically? He can smite you between your eyes, man. Where you can't see. And then watch this. Again, verse 20, middle of the verse. Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. I mean, this guy has got the power to turn on the lights, to turn on the sight, and to turn it back off. And you know what he does it with? Listen now. He doesn't do it with some charismatic... No. He does it with prayer. He just says, Lord. And God says, yes, Elisha. I'll never forget one time I was... And I don't always... I'm not very spiritual. And I don't always pray very spiritual. I remember I was praying with a dear old saint one time. And I got through praying. And I got up and there's just tears running down her face. And she looked at me and she said, I declare, she said, I can tell you were really talking to somebody. I'm glad. That finally is true. How many of our prayers are prayers, but they're not really talking to somebody? Anybody can say something. Elisha says, Lord. The Lord says, yes, Elisha. I had a granddaddy like that, man. My brother mentioned him already. He was preaching one day, and week after week, there's a peacock. Got on the. Have y'all heard this story?
No.
It's a good story. I'll tell it to you. And week after week, at invitation time. This is true. This is not a preacher story. This is true. And week after week, a peacock got up on the... And this is in the 50s, okay? A peacock got up on the outside of the church on the fence post. Y'all know how loud peacocks are when they get going? And every Sunday, at invitation time, I mean, we're wanting sinners to get saved. And that was the day they were all packed, you know. And here it goes again. And one Sunday, my grandpa got up. He started to give the invitation, and there goes that peacock. And he stopped and he said, Huck, let's pray. He said, God, would you please shut that peacock up? In Jesus' name, amen. He raised up, and the peacock was quiet.
Amen.
And they finished the service, and you know what the deacons did? They ran outside right after the service. And the peacock had fell over dead. You know what we are? Listen, I'll be honest with you. We are so afraid of the charismatic movement, which is just about non-existent, that we think that God really doesn't even answer prayers anymore. Oh, that's in the days of the apostles. Prayer? We're not talking about prayer to consume it upon your own lust. I did that one time, man. I was in Bible college, and a guy preached on prayer, and I got down and I said, God, give me $10 million, and I'll give it to this missionary. I was serious. But God wasn't serious about it. I believe it. You know, if you believe it, you receive it. I believe it, but it didn't come. Look, Elisha, you know what we need? We need people that know God enough to where when they say, Lord, God says, yes. And I just don't know where all of them are anymore. Lord, yes, Elisha. Open this guy's eyes. Okay. Lord, shut their eyes with blindness. Okay. Lord, I know I just asked you to shut them, but would you open them again? Okay. Church, we live in a dark, blind, cold world of night, and somebody has got to be able to get a hold of God and say, God, open their eyes. At least they can see. They still have to make their own decision about it, but at least they can see the prayer of the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And this is what I see in this text. Listen, church. He did not pray for God to help him. He did not pray, Lord, kill all these people that have come to get me. He did not bow and say, Lord, if you'll just get us out of this jam today. He didn't pray for help. He prayed for understanding. Isn't that what Ephesians 1 says? Paul's praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened so they would know. Instead of us praying for all the help we need and all the things we need and all the deliverance we need, why don't we say, Lord, I'm praying for some understanding. Because I don't even know what's going on. Or they don't know what's going on. Maybe our prayers are all wrong. I tell you what, if a great host comes against me, I don't know where I don't think I'll be saying, Lord, now help this kid right here to see you in this situation. Open our eyes, Lord, that we could behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open our eyes, God, that we can see what we need to see. Not asking for the help, but anoint our eyes with eyes. Because so many times we are poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. And what we just need to see. We don't need everything to be worked out. We need to see. What we need is a heavenly sight and a heavenly vision and an eternal sight and a spiritual view. All he could see was the circumstances physically that present himself. But Elisha was trying to get God to open his eyes to see something heavenly. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know what that means? That Elisha, he already saw that anyway. He could see that anyway. He just wanted this other guy to see that. You know why? He had seen that previously over in chapter 2 already. He had already seen the chariots of fire. He had already seen him come down and get Elijah. He had already seen the power and the glory of God. He had already seen God come down from heaven with an army and escort his servant back up to heaven. He knew the power of God. He knew the might of God. He knew the reality of heavenly things and eternal things because God had opened his eyes and he never lost sight of it. He said, God, I just wish you'd help this guy see that. Do you know, church, right here tonight, if I know my Bible right, the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear Him. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1 that His angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. Is that right? That's right. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says, the gospel that was preached to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And I don't want you to get all excited about angels, but I'm going to tell you what. There is another world, and there is another reality, and it's not artificial intelligence, and it's not some movie thing. There is a real other spiritual world, and the Bible says those angels are round about, and they're even looking into the things. They're looking into the Holy Ghost preaching from heaven. The Holy Ghost preaching through people about the gospel. They're looking into that, and it's not even about them. It doesn't even relate to them. And they're more interested in it than some people that's redeemed their soul and changed their lives. And the angels are there. If God would open our eyes tonight, I'm glad He won't, because we'd probably fall down and worship those angels. But they're looking into it. You say, well, you said angels are here. Well, why wouldn't they be here? They like to look into the preaching of the Word of God. If there's somebody in here that's the heir of salvation, they're here to minister. Well, that'd be something if God have us just open our eyes and we see all the angels around. You say, I don't believe that. Well, believe what you want to believe. But I tell you what, if you saw them, you probably wouldn't be so afraid of some things you're afraid of. And maybe you would say, you know, it's not God just seeing things going on around here. Some of the heavenly hosts seeing them too. We have such limited view of heaven. Such limited. And God tells us to set our affection on things above. Our eyes ought to be looking up. So many times it's looking around. We're supposed to be walking by faith, not by sight. When He saw all those horses, I just imagine in my mind that the young man, when he got a good view of God, he's no longer afraid anymore. He looks at all the enemy. He looks at all that heavenly host. Wow. God really is real. Dear brother, sister, God, our God is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same God of Elisha. He's the same God of 2 Kings chapter 6. He's a God today. He's not some plastic little deity on a shelf somewhere. We're not talking about things that aren't real. We don't even know the depth of the reality of them if God would open our eyes. If we could see eternal things, oh, what it would do to my heart. We could see heavenly things, what it would do to my soul. Open his eyes, Lord. You know the story. I've got to quit. He smites the enemy with blindness. He leads them to another place. Then He opens the eyes of those that are enemies. And then the king of Israel says, in his carnality like he is, he says, shall I smite them? I mean, that's what you do with enemies, right? They want to kill me, so now I've got them right where I want them. Shall I smite them? You see, the king of Israel is blind. You see, somebody that can see, you know what he wants to do? He wants to help somebody. He wants to save somebody. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives. He came to save lives. God didn't give us all this truth so we could beat somebody over the head with it. He gave us this truth so that we could rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And here's all these enemies that hate Elisha's guts that came to kill him. And those that came to kill him, he's going to save. Shall I smite him? No. James and John, sons of thunder. No, you shall not smite them. Well, then what do we do with them? Well, you feed them. Can you see Ahab's voice scratching his head? I do what? You feed them. Now even Ahab's sons listen to Elisha. I'd say what? You lead the whole army of the king of Syria into your back door and they're all blind and sitting there? This old man knows something. This old man's got some power. What do I do now? Because you turn this light on and off. If you can turn their light on and off, I think you can turn my light on and off too.
What do I do with these people?
Feed them. Feed them. Just feed them. And you know what, the church? That's New Testament theology. That's Romans chapter 12. That's what that is. Your enemies. Yes, your enemies. Somebody that can really see. They'll see past those bad words and those mocking things. They'll see past that bad countenance and that cruel heart. They'll see past all those personal things. And they'll see somebody that's got a soul and got a heart and has a need. I need to feed them. Maybe that preparing that table before us in the presence of our enemies maybe not might just not be for me. Maybe that might be for them. Feed them. Listen, you know what that book says? He fed them. I tell you what, we can't see if we don't have a burden for the world. You can't see. We don't have a burden for people. We can't see. If we don't want to feed the hungry souls, we're blind. Just trying to live another life, get another paycheck, do another thing, have another vacation, go to church another time. But if we can really see, we'll say, man, I want to feed these people. I want to feed them. If we can have a burden like that. As the world is starving to death without God, Lord, help me to be willing to give light and food and salvation. And that Bible says this, I'm finished. When that enemy got fed and they left that prophet that they came to destroy, they never came back again to harm anybody. One prophet could do more than an army. One light switch on and light switch off could do more than all the battlements and intelligence and methodologies just turning the light on. Turn the light on. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Elisha's sight. Help me to see, Lord. Open my eyes that I may see. And Father, open the eyes of my brethren that they might see. Lord, we want you to open the eyes of our enemies that they might see their need of Christ. Oh God, tonight, please forgive us of having not more power to pray and have you turn on the light switch. Please, God, we ask tonight that you would give us a heart for people. Give us an understanding of the dangers that are around the corners of our lives. And Lord, we'll praise you for what you do in our midst. Get rid of those blind spots, we pray, oh God. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask you.